al primero de mayo.
Hello and welcome to the Pick a Pop Podcast. I am your host, Sam Dusenberry Jr. Follow me on Twitter at TheSamD, that's T-H-E-E-S-A-M-D. Use the hashtag Pick and Pop to follow along with the show on Twitter and other social media platforms. Subscribe and rate on iTunes, Apple iTunes, search Pick and Pop, that's Pick and Pop, no and, just pick the letter N, Pop Podcast. You can also find the podcast up on Stitcher Radio, Google Play. Man, so you know I had to jump into this, right? You know I had to jump into this. Where your man's going? Where is your man's going? Your man's the Kia jumper is up out of here. He's gone. He has been banished from the fraud center. It can now be called back to his original government name. It is now back to the Staples Center. Fraud City is now back to its original name, the Los Angeles Clippers. Kia jumper still the Kia jumper, though. And the point fraud still the point fraud. Case you ain't know. So the Kia jumper is gone. The Kia jumper is gone. The Los Angeles Clippers have traded the Kia jumper to Detroit. Detroit. Detroit basketball. The Kia jumper goes from the Western Conference, the allure of LA, Staples Center, dating Kylie Jenner. Sorry, Kendall, right? Kendall. Kendall Jenner. And now he's going to Motown with Stan Van and Trick Trick. Stan Van and Trick Trick. Not exactly the same as LA being a part of Funny or Die, getting your movie career low-key popping, being with a Jenner, which is by proxy, being with a Kardashian. Not exactly the same as going to the Midwest of America with Stan Van and Trick Trick. And if you don't know who Trick Trick is, Google it. Trust me, who knows Trick Trick right about now? Who has already Googled Trick Trick? Kia Jumper. Because when you go to Detroit and you're a performer of a certain stature, you better know who Trick Trick is. Pay homage. So, basketball reasons, right? Basketball reasons is the spin of why the Clippers made this move. The Clippers get the Kia Jumper up out of there. They get in return Tobias Harris, Avery Bradley, Boban, a first rounder, which is unprotected for the next 2 years, 1 through 4, and a second round pick. So that's 5 potential pieces for the Kia jumper. Now they threw in a couple of big pieces. Showtime Willie Reed got thrown in there, and Bryce Johnson. So I'd be, again, dudes that had nothing to do with it, now you're also sent to Detroit with the Kia jumper to go see Stan Van and Trick Trick. So, basketball reasons, right? This is Jerry West. This is Jerry West. But see, here's the spin, though. The Kia jumper just signed this contract, right? He signed that contract last summer. 5 years, $171 million of them things. He wanted a full max deal. He pushed, he prodded, he negotiated a full 5 year, $171 million contract. What he didn't push for is a no trade. You know who was smiling? Melo. Melo got his full max contract and a no trade. That's where the Kia jumper messed up. Kia jumper made sure he got them M's, but he did not care about a no trade. Why? Because the Clippers told him he's going to be a Clipper for life. He fell for the okie doke. They lured him in to Staples Center to woo him. Had a mock retirement ceremony in Staples Center for the Kia jumper. Clipper for life. Jersey lifted to the rafters. They did all of that in this mock presentation. And you remember them shirts, right? You remember the shirts. We talked about it in the summertime because it came out on Twitter. And we had some fun with that shirt. That shirt was popping. A pioneer shirt. The Clippers had everyone in the organization who was in on the meeting to woo, officially woo, the Kia jumper to come back and re-up. They got t-shirts together with pioneers on it. These are pioneers of not only this country, but of the world. International pioneers. MLK, Abraham Lincoln, Mandela, JFK, Einstein, Muhammad Ali, Obama. And then they threw in Mahatma Gandhi. And then again, and I think I even told you this in the summer, if you really want to learn something, Google Mahatma Gandhi and racism. You might learn a little something about Mahatma Gandhi that you might not have known. Someone who was so nonviolent, so peaceful, also had a very strong opinion about people of a certain hue. Let's just say Gandhi and Mandela might not have agreed to too many things. But do yourself a favor and Google it if you don't believe me. So anywho, they have Gandhi, Abraham Lincoln, Mandela, Einstein, Obama, JFK, MLK, and Muhammad Ali on this pioneer t-shirt. And at the top of that t-shirt, the top of this like mountainous grouping of men, of pioneers, Kia jumper. Projecting the Kia jumper to be a pioneer. How's he going to be a pioneer? Was he going to be the first one not to fall for the Kardashian curse? Did he think getting a Jenner, bagging a Jenner, was going to absolve him of the Kardashian curse? No man can come away from that family unscathed. I thought Yeezy had a chance. I thought. Shaky. Very shaky. No man. That family. Those women are undefeated. Undefeated. And the Kia jump is just the latest. You think Kendall's going to Detroit? I know who wishes she'd come to Detroit. Trick Trick. She'd come to Detroit. Trick Trick's claiming that as a tax. That's the tax. Right there. Kendall. All them Pepsi cans and Kendall. That's the tax. It's amazing. 5 years, 171 million of them things. And they traded you months later. Literally, not even a year later. 6 to 7 months later. 5 years, 171 million of them things going to Detroit. Now, obviously, he keeps his money, which is fine in the end. But if he could have took that fourth year, he'll still be in LA right now. If he could have took that fourth year and have a no trade, negotiate that no trade into the contract, he would still be in LA. He would not be packing his bags, worrying about Trick Trick. Now, for basketball reasons, if you want to look at it from the LA perspective, LA's tanking. They're not saying they're tanking. They're tanking. They're going to do the whole deal of, we're going to rebuild on the fly. Well, if the reports are true, they're also trying to get DeAndre Jordan about the paint and your man's Lou Williams about the paint. If that's the case, how is that not a rebuild? When your best player is potentially Austin Rivers, that's a tank. And is this Doc's last ploy? The thing about it is, it's not. Doc's not in control anymore. It's the OG, Jerry West. The OG, Jerry West is coming in. And look, the OG, Jerry West has built dynasties multiple times over. He built the 80s Lakers, the Showtime Lakers. He built that. Then he was able to swoop in, get Shaq, draft Kobe, build those Lakers. And then he went up north and did a little thing with them Warriors. So this is three times. The three-time dynasty building Jerry West. The logo. Now he's with the Los Angeles Clippers. Not the frauds anymore. Can't call them that. So now Jerry West is with the Clippers. This is move number two in this plan. Get Chris Paul up out of there. The point fraud, gone. Get pieces back. Create cap flexibility. Now, Kia jumper, gone. Get him out the paint. Get that bloated contract off the books. Cap flexibility. Now we got to find somebody dumb enough to take DeAndre and dumb enough to take Lou Will. I think somebody will take one of them. I would be very impressed. I won't say shocked because it's the logo. I'd be very impressed if they could get rid of both DeAndre and Lou Will and get something of some sort of substance for both of them. I'll be very, very impressed. You know, we always hear about, oh, this guy's contract is untradeable. We heard Melo's contract was untradeable. Melo got traded. This Blake Griffin, 5 years, $171 million. I mean, he's still got $141 million left over 4 years on that thing. And the Pistons said, yeah, let me get that. Contracts are always tradable. If you want to move something, you can move it. Shit, I remember Jerome James got moved all them years ago with the Knicks. The Bulls took that contract. Why? Because they had an equally shitty contract in Eddie Curry. Take mine for yours. Let's swap back contracts. That's how this game works. But in this case, the Clippers get ridiculously young. They don't have anybody outside of, I forget who it is. I think they only have one player. It's not even Austin. It might be Tobias. Tobias now with his contract, he might be the only one that's on the books past next year. So going into 2020, damn near all the cap room is available. Now we know who's coming out. Free agent class of 2018. We know what that is. We know it's Bron, PG. And then it depends on a bunch of other guys who are opting out. But the year after that, the 2019 year, you got Kyrie. You know, interesting. You got Boogie. And man, you know, Boogie's my dude. I hate it had to be him. Yeah, we will get into that. But yeah. Y'all know how much I love Boogie, and seeing Boogie go down like that, you know, he's not even on my, you know, alleged favorite team that I support from the shadows. We'll talk about them too. But he's one of my he's probably my top three favorite players to watch, and to see him go down like that was horrific and horrible. But let's take Boogie out the mix. We don't know what kind of Boogie we are going to get when he comes back. So 2019, we're going to go Kawhi. I said Kyrie, Clay, Jimmy Butler. All those dudes are either could opt out or straight up be unrestricted. And again, Bron and PG are also options because they could opt in this summer for one more year. LeBron could choose to stay in Cleveland one more year and then be completely clean the year after that. PG, the same thing in OKC, and you heard the comments that he made about Westbrook, about how he loved how Westbrook rode for him when it came to the All-Star game of being a snub and so on and so forth. So he's kind of low-key buying in now. He could still dip to L.A. to the Lake Show this summer if he wants to, but if you want to believe the quotes that he's putting out there, and he's not just saying it to say it. I think he's really, you know, OKC was playing better in Andre Roberson went down for the season. He's done. It's a wrap for that. So now that will... And man, OKC was low-key playing good. I was ready to come on here and pump up the OK3 thing again. But now I have to watch them now for a few more games, see how they adjust with Roberson, because low-key, they've been playing very well. Offensively, and more importantly for them, which is the opposite of how they were early in the season, defensively, they were playing much, much better. But Roberson being, you know, the catalyst for that, with him being down, we got to see how they adjust. But if you believe Paul George, he could opt in for another year. So if Bron opts in for a year, PG opts in for a year, 2019, now you got Bron and PG add to that mix with Kawhi, Jimmy Buckets, Kyrie, and Clay. And maybe Boogie. That's about 7-8 dudes. Clippers could go get two of those dudes. And hopefully, if they have pieces, if they've drafted well over the next two seasons, you would hope there'll be some, you know, rotational pieces. And you could be right back in contention. And if you believe Jerry West is definitely going to go get a free agent. Jerry West is not about, he knows you need studs to win. He's not about this build them like that Chauncey Billups Pistons team back in the day. Like, he's not about that life. I'm about studs. Give me immortal studs and let me rock. It took a while for that dub thing to flourish, but when it did, it was hitting on all cylinders. So imagine now, the Clippers could have all that cap room. All that cap room. It could potentially have Bron, PG, Kyrie, Klay, Jimmy Buckets, Kawhi, maybe Boogie to choose from. And if they got all the cap space in the world, you could get a Heat type deal and get three. You could get three dudes. I don't think you're getting LeBron in that scenario because LeBron's days of, you know, not being the highest paid are a wrap. Especially at that point in his career. 2-3 years from now, when LeBron's hitting 35, LeBron's still cashing out most money in the game. So you might be able to get three of those dudes. Which three would you want? I'm doing anything I can to get Klay. Because if I get Klay, that slows down the Warriors. He would be my number two target. Not number one, because Klay can't be your number one option on offense. Can't be. Could you see a Klay and Kawhi thing working? See, here's where the Warriors thing is so good. The pieces fit damn near perfectly for what they do. If you take Klay, and we've had these conversations, but if you take Klay and make him just straight up number one option, feed the ball to him, let him get 25, 30 shots, as good as his Jimmy is, and his Jimmy's super wet, now he's facing hardcore pressure every single possession. All that rotation stuff, all those curls and pin downs and those stagger screens, I don't know if he's getting that open if everybody knows he's the number one option. It's easy to kind of float in. Right now, he's the third option. Sometimes he's the fourth on the Warriors. Sometimes they forget Klay. You put him on the Clippers and make him the number one option, everybody's keying up on him. Everybody's pressing him. We know he don't like to penetrate to the paint. We know he don't like to finish around the rim. We know he's there for one thing, and that's to shoot bombs away. Now, he still can play D. But offensively, his main thing is set this screen, bro. Let me get this three off. If that's the case, can you really give that dude preference over the likes of a Paul George, over a 35-year-old LeBron, over Kyrie? Maybe Kyrie soaks up all he needs to soak up from Brad Stevens and he's ready to dip and do his own thing. He's still in the penchant for dipping. We know how Kyrie gets down. Maybe 2-3 seasons with Brad Stevens is enough. Maybe the boy genius will feed all he can feed to Kyrie, and Kyrie's like, all right, it's time to go. Kyrie and Klay, now that could work. Kyrie, Klay, Kawhi. If I give you that in the West 2 years from now, for the Clippers, are they in contention? Please believe that. The key here is somehow you got to break up the Warriors. And if that means giving Klay Thompson a no-trade clause and maxing them out to whatever possibility you can, you got to do it. Now, the Warriors ain't stupid. They're going to try to do the same thing. But you're going to have to sell him on the fact, yo, you always going to be third at best. And to some people, you're going to be fourth because some people are higher on Draymond than others. So, depending on how you feel about Draymond, Klay's at best third on the team or fourth. You got to sell him. Why be fourth? Why you still be fourth? Yeah, you got maybe a couple rings out of it by then, maybe two or three. But why you want to be fourth? Everybody know this Steph team. And everybody know KD's the best player. And everybody know Draymond's the heart. What are you? That's how you got to sell it to Klay. Come to LA. Come to the Staples Center. The same city your pops played at, became a star at. Come here. Come home. And tell him he's number one option, even though he ain't. Just tell him he's number one option. Your number one option. Give him that DeAndre treatment. The same way the fraud city Clippers went out there to Dallas and gassed up DeAndre about how he's going to be more involved in offense, and we're going to get you pitch meetings with producers, and we're going to get you a Q rating up by putting you in a State Farm commercial with the point fraud. Do all that to Clay. You got to sell him on that. Who wants to be fourth? Who's happy being fourth? If you believe in yourself, you're not going to be happy being fourth. Give Clay the DeAndre treatment. Keep him hostage. Throw all them M's at him. Number one option. Building's yours. Max contract. No trade clause. How's Clay saying no? At least you got to put it out there. But that's what Jerry West has set up this franchise to be. By getting the Kia jumper out of there, he has made the cap flexibility enormous. And that's what this move was for. It was not for 2018. It was not for 2017. It was for 2019 and 2020. Get these bloated contracts off the books. Now, DeAndre's next. Now, his contract's a little bit more flexible. He's up for renegotiating. And Lou Will is always on a short contract because nobody has faith in Lou Will long term. So those contracts are feasible. They could potentially hold on to those two and try to make something work. But if knowing Jerry West, knowing his steeds and how he's gotten down, it's a wrap for at least one of those, if not both. 2020, the Los Angeles Clippers will be back in the mix. They're going to go out here and get 2 to 3 max players. Maybe they get lucky here with some ping pong balls. And they're back in the mix and they're back in contention. It'll be a better fit. And Doc Rivers is on notice. He's on notice. I mean, they stripped him. You know, he'll say he decided to relinquish. They stripped him of those GM duties. And he brought in the logo. Well, like I said, three dynasties. Trying to get a fourth here. Four dynasties. Two in the same building. That's why he's a logo. As much as Dwight Howard one time wanted to change the logo to it. You know what? I'll let y'all Google that. Go ahead and Google that. I think I've told y'all to do that before. But yeah, if you haven't, go ahead and Google what and see what Dwight Howard wanted to change the logo to. Back when he was a rookie. But yeah, the logo. This is what's happening. It's 2019, 2020. That's the move of what they've done. And it's amazing when you look at it from the LA perspective of now they've cleared the deck. They've cleared the deck. They just got to get DeAndre and Lou Will up out of there. Doc Rivers is on thin ice. The logo don't play that. Pretty soon Doc will be up out of there. Or if Doc stays, Doc knows. You just have to stay in his lane. LeVar Ball with it. Stay in your lane. Your job is to coach. I'm going to give you the right pieces. You just make sure you do your thing coaching them up. Well, now, if you're looking at this from this big trade for the Pistons, what are they trying to do? They don't have Reggie Jackson, so they've been taking a lot of L's ever since Reggie Jackson went down with that bad ankle, right? So they've been taking a lot of L's when it comes to Reggie Jackson. The points per game have gone down. Andre Drummond has been getting murdered in the paint. He's still putting up good numbers, but he's getting a lot more attention because people don't have to respect guys on the outside. What, they got Ish Smith? I mean, Ish Smith is a nice player. He got game, but, I mean, he doesn't command the attention that Reggie Jackson does. So, what are the Pistons doing with this move? So, is Stan Van really out here in the East getting himself a bootleg Brown boogie? Does Stan Van really think he could put something together where Andre Drummond and the Kia Jumper could work? How is this bootleg Brown and Boogie thing going to work? Brown and Boogie are both generational talents. I wouldn't say that about the Kia Jumper or Andre Drummond. So how's this going to work? I mean, The good thing you can say is at least Blake tends to shoot from the outside more now. So it's not necessarily the same thing where it's two dudes both on the same block. It won't be that. But two dudes who you want rebounds from, two dudes who you want the threat of posting up, and Andre can't do nothing more but just post up. I mean, he's tried to mix in that outside game, but it's nothing that anybody legitimately takes seriously as a threat. Nobody's checking, you know, Andre Drummond out 18, 19 feet away. Even I think he's attempted a couple threes this year. Like, nobody's really taking that seriously. He's a low post presence. He's a 20 and 20 kind of guy. And that's fine. Flourish. But if you put him and the Kia Jumper together, you could do a little high-low action. It could be similar to how the Kia Jumper and DeAndre Jordan used to move. But Andre Drummond is just not the same type of finisher that DeAndre is. Like, I just don't see it. Now, he may prove me wrong. Maybe the Kia Jumper can do some high-low action that will showcase some skills that I don't think Andre Drummond has. But I'm not sure what Stan Van is doing here. Both of these guys potentially could clog up the paint, clog up the middle, and create less space. Does this give room to Stanley Johnson to do work? Stanley Johnson had a hot first half of his rookie season and haven't really seen that much from him since then. I thought he had potential, and it looked like he was showing some of it the first half of his rookie season. Does this give... I mean, by proxy, he has to get moved up in rotation because Tobias was eating up all the minutes at the three in the wing position. So I would assume Stanley Johnson gets more in the mix. But long term, I think, yes, you lose Tobias Harris, but Tobias was showing the propensity to just be a shooter. I thought maybe the change of scenery, getting him out of the cesspool that is Orlando, would allow him to show more of his game. But he seems to have fallen in love with his Jimmy. When his Jimmy's not hitting, he's not really giving you enough of anything else to warrant keeping him and making him like a number two. He's like a number two option on that team. I think his usage rate was at times more than, you know, Drummond's, especially when Reggie was going good. I mean, when let me be clear, when Reggie's going, the only option is Reggie. I'm just saying, he was at times force feeding Tobias more than he was force feeding Drummond. But when Reggie Jackson's going, the only option, not number one option, the only option is Reggie Jackson. So, you know, you get Tobias out of there. Avery Bradley was interesting because Avery, we thought, was a low-key great move. And the Pistons were looking really good November, December. And Avery Bradley, we just thought, was a catalyst of it because, you know, scrappy guy, plays D, he's improved his offensive game every year of his career, but it just didn't work with that system. I don't know what. I'm not sure if Stan Van wasn't using him correctly. But if you look at the numbers and you look at the metrics, and again, I'm not married to numbers. I'm not married to analytics, but I do think they can sometimes clue you in on things. And sometimes certain numbers just jump at you that are alarming. Every significant rotational player on the Pistons, their offensive rating was better when Avery Bradley was off the floor. Like, every single player, like, and not like by a point tenth or two tenths of a point, like significantly better. So if everybody's offensive rating is better when you're not on the court, and it's a big drop off when you're on the court, and it's only when you, like specifically you, are on the court, some ain't right. So I don't know. I don't think Avery Bradley is washed. I don't think that. I've seen him do too many things this year that looked like the Avery Bradley from Boston for me to think that. But with this mix, with this group, with this rotation, and this system, and playing under Stan Van, it just wasn't working, Jack. It just really just was not working. So they got him up out of there. And Avery's a guy that I think, you know, on the right team, on the right contender, I mean, he's a, if you think the Cavs can't use him right now, you think LeBron wouldn't flip that real quick? If they could somehow get Avery Bradley in Cleveland, that would help a lot. Just somebody who could play D, anybody who could play D, any team in the Western Conference. If I'm the Rockets, I'm looking at how do we get Avery? Because you're going to need somebody to D up these dubs, man. You need somebody who could D up on these dubs. And the point fraud likes to think he could still play D. And we know how the beard is. The Rockets going to need somebody to D up on these dubs. Why not go out there and get Avery Bradley? Because I can't see him lasting in L.A. too long. I can't see that happening. He might be, you know, a candidate for a buyout there. Tobias is the key to that move. And then you got Boban. And Boban, you know, at least he gets to go with Tobias and he can still learn how to Millie Rock and stuff like that. So, or Juju on that beat, you know, all of that shit. So, but Detroit is making this move to make an impact, not only for this year, but next year. I just don't think it's going to work. I think that team is ugly. It's horribly built. Stan Van is one of the last dudes that's, you know, a coach and GM. Thibodeau has the same type of deal. And then you have Popovich with the Spurs, but they have a good GM in R.C. Buford. So, in name, Popovich is definitely, like, doing both jobs, but R.C. Buford is definitely involved heavily. Whereas with Stan Van and Thibodeau, they're more hardcore, intricately involved on both sides, GM and head coach. So you have a relic position in Stan Van doing both jobs, and he's shown a propensity to be okay at one and not so good at the other. So what does Detroit management and ownership guys say about this? They just increase payroll a lot. There's a lot of money tied up in Reggie, Drummond, and now the Kia Jumper. A lot of money. And even if you give me them at full strength in the East, what you think a team of Drummond, the Kia Jumper, and Reggie Jackson are going to do in the East at full strength? Do any of y'all think they could be a 4 seed? 4 seed? I don't know about that. I mean, the Cavs are the 3 seed. Miami was the 4 seed. Let me go here real quick. Miami's still the 4 seed. They're hanging on by a game and a half over Milwaukee. So, do you think, as fully constituted, the Pistons could be right there with Milwaukee and Miami? You want to say yes. You would think yes. But we got to see how that match is. I mean, we saw how long it took the OK3 to get together and to figure it out. And now they got to adjust with Robeson out. But we saw it took them a good damn near to the All-Star break to get a groove. And that's with two elite players. Pistons were thinking they got 3 when they got none. So they're playing space right now. They just got 3 possibles. And those possibles are real shaky. Those books could get cut real quick. In between shows, in between doing pods, and thank you for listening to the Pick a Pod podcast. I am Sam Dusenberry. You know, I was watching the Cavs intensely. I know the Cavs and LeBron is always a topic of conversation for this pod and all the hundreds of thousands of podcasts out there and all the network and cable television broadcasts as well. But I was really trying to watch the Cavs and not just watch the Cavs or watch LeBron, but just watch their offense, watch the defense, watch the philosophies and try to figure out what the hell is wrong. And one glaring thing that came to me, and I had to write it down because I take notes, I watch games. Sometimes I'll think I need to take notes in case I want to remember stuff for when I'm prepping to do this pod. But I took notes and I was just like, yo, there's one real glaring need that, you know, and I think it was, let me go back and see the schedule. Because it was like 2 games back to back. I was like, oh, yeah, this is the problem. Let me go ahead to the Cavs schedule. Give me a second here. Schedule. Okay, so we had the MLK Warriors game. It wasn't that. Okay, the loss to OK3 and the loss to the Spurs. Those back-to-back L's that they took, both were big time national televised games, there was two things I saw, but one glaring thing that stood out to me. And I know people kill them for their defense, you know, and their defensive rotations are not good, and they got IT, and IT, as I said on the last pod, this defensive rating was the absolute worst in the entire association last year, so they know what they were getting into. But it was another need. So defense, obviously, team defense is horrible. They're late on rotations. They don't communicate that well when it comes to calling out ball screens. Are we switching? Are we not switching? Who's the switch off? Who's the weak side help? All that type of stuff. They do not communicate that well on the court in regards to that. Obvious, clear. But the one thing bigger than that to me, they are so bad at team rebounding. They are horrific when it comes to hitting the glass. And, you know, the stats don't bear it out in regards to their rating. I mean, they pull up their rating again. Let me see their rating. I mean, their offensive rating is fifth. They're 13th in pace. Where's their rebounds? Stats, hang on. Okay. Oh, things must have gone drastically worse since the last time I checked this. So, all right. So, when it comes to offensive rebound percentage, they're next to last. They're 25th in the league. They're like towards the bottom half of the league in that. When it comes to defensive rebounding percentage, they're also 25th in the league. So they're in the bottom half of the league in rebounding. They're 27th in total rebounds, 23rd, and this is just pure amount of rebounds, 27th total rebounds, 23rd in defensive rebounds, 28th in offensive rebounds. So to me, just watching those back-to-back games against the OK3 and the Spurs, there were so many times where Kevin Love was by himself down low. One on three, trying to battle and box out three guys to get one rebound. And this is on the offensive and defensive end. You know, offensively, maybe I could understand only having one guy down low because everybody's trying to shoot. That's the whole game. The game now, the Warriors way is spread everybody out, have four guys who can shoot, and have one generic big, whether it's Zaza, Bogut, whoever, down low to get the occasional back tap or grab the offensive board. I understand that if you're trying to mimic that, but you got to have the type of shooters that the Warriors have to make that efficient. In the past, the Cavs have come close to having those kind of shooters, but this year they have nowhere near close to having it. You got to have shot makers to make that kind of offense work. And the Cavs don't have the shot makers. They don't. You know, JR has looked lost. Absolutely lost. Now, he's been hot the last two games, but JR streaky. But we haven't had a good JR streak in a long time. In a long time. So that's the problem. Offensively, when it comes to rebounding, there's only one guy down low, and it's normally Kevin Love. When you try to surround LeBron with shooters, which includes Kevin Love, who's supposed to be a shooter, but now has to go down low and grab rebounds, playing the five, that's the problem. You know, you bring Jay Crowder in, who has improved his shot, but is more of a defensive first player, but now you're trying to make him into being a shooter. So because of that, we got to take Tristan Thompson off the floor, and now we got to have Kevin Love play the five. So it's a domino effect. So they got tired of seeing that. Apparently, Ty Lue or somebody in the Cavs organization was looking at the same thing I was looking at, because I was like, look, they need to change this lineup because their lineup is getting killed on the glass every single night. They cannot continue to rebound this way and do any sort of type of damage in the Eastern Conference or the finals. Like this, you can't. You can't win any kind of game. Any kind of game like that. You cannot win any kind of relevant games in May and June being that bad at rebounding. So, you know, Ty Lue made that change. They made the change of getting Jay Crowder up out the lineup, and they put Tristan Thompson back in there. So now you move K Love back to the four and Tristan Thompson at the five. And now they've had two straight wins. You know? But the fact of the matter is just the lineup itself was just badly built. Only the Warriors or teams like the Rockets can get away with playing four guys who could shoot and one generic big. Those only two teams in the league who can get away with that. Warriors and Rockets. Every other team, you need to have two bigs. Unless you got that fourth guy who's lights out shooter or potential lights out shooter, you can't have only one big down low. So as much as the game is positionless and it's positionless if you have a bunch of Dubs and Rockets running around. You don't. Those are only two teams who can play like that. Everybody's trying to mimic them now and build like them. That's why y'all keep losing to them. You need two bigs. Because you need to get these rebounds. Because in case the off chance of these teams missing, you need to get that rebound. And that's what's killing the Cavs. It's killing them. I watched it. You know, defensively, they do a lot of switching. But the problem is when you do a pick and roll and you switch, it's easy to set it up. So numerous times, and this is even against the Spurs. You know, who was it? Was it Murray? Yeah, because Parker ain't start. So it was Murray. Murray's running the pick and roll with Aldridge, right? So he's running the pick and roll with Aldridge. So that brings K-Love out to the top. So now you have either D-Rose or Isaiah. Let's make it somewhat plausible. Let's say you got D-Rose. Got D-Rose coming up. Guarding Murray. Pick and roll with Aldridge. You switch. Right? So now you have Love guarding Murray. And now you got Rose guarding Aldridge. So now it's either going to be automatic post-up, barbecue chicken for Aldridge, or Murray's going to put K-Love on skates. And let's say Murray settles and does a pull-up. If he bricks it, guess who's trying to box out LaMarcus Aldridge? Derrick Rose. Easy offensive rebound. This happened time after time in that game. Time after time, the guards would get caught, switched on the big. The wing for the Spurs would try to do their thing, shake and bake or penetrate and pull up. And if they missed a shot, it doesn't matter because the big that rolled is now down low and he's being boxed out by the likes of Jose Calderon, Derrick Rose, or 5'8 Isaiah Thomas. What big isn't going to eat down low off that? Mad bigs can eat off that. The big man is going to be relevant if that's how this league is going to go, where everybody is switching, even if you're a guard and you're switching off onto a big and you now got to box out that big. Big men are going to flourish down low. That's not even barbecue chicken. That's straight ribs. So those are the two glaring things. The two glaring things is that the Cavs weren't rebounding. They were horrific at rebounding. So they went and got bigger. They put Tristan back in the lineup, made that adjustment. Now they have a big man who could play center. And now they can put Kevin Love back in his proper position of being a four that can stretch and shoot threes. And also hit the glass if he has to, which in this case he's going to have to because the Cavs don't have a lot of good shooters right now. Now, the second part, the part of always switching, I don't know what they're going to do about that because the whole league is like that. The whole league, again, because of the prominence of the Warriors, these teams now feel they have to switch. You have to play this positionless basketball. And I know the Warriors are the top dog, and you have to try to build your team to beat the top dog. But if anything happens to this top dog, if Klay leaves in 2 years, y'all going to have a bunch of positionless dudes and y'all going to get destroyed by a traditional built team. Mark my words. So the switching is still going to be a problem. And the fact that Isaiah is 5'8 is still going to be a problem. The fact that Derrick Rose only seems to look like old Derrick Rose in spurts is still going to be a problem. But at least the Cavs have identified something that I was noticing, and they now seem to be at least writing that part of it. Going bigger, having two bigs on the floor, instead of trying to keep up with the Warriors and playing this positionless basketball, because they just don't have the horses right now. They don't have the horses right now that play that kind of style of ball. We need the Cavs to be somewhat of a threat. We need them to be somewhat of a threat. Now, I know we still all think the Dubs going to win this chip, right? But we still need them to at least win a game or two. I don't see any, as much as Boston gives the Dubs fits, as much as that matchup looks like it could be something, and Kyrie is, I won't say he's kryptonite, but he's definitely, you know, Kyrie's the only dude that could put Steph on skates the way Steph puts other dudes on skates. Kyrie's the only dude. So I remember that like debate a few years ago, who got the better handle, Kyrie or Steph? I ain't never see Steph put Kyrie on skates. But I know, and you know, and you know that I know that you know, Kyrie had Steph on skates last week. So a couple of quick hits before I get up out of here. And thank you again for listening to the Pick Up Our Podcast. I am Sam Dusenberry. Follow me on Twitter at TheSamD. That's TheSamD. Subscribe and rate on iTunes. Search Pick and Pop Podcast. That's Pick and Pop. No, and Pick and Pop. Yo, man. Like I mentioned before, Boogie going down is horrific. I don't believe that, you know, the notion is that Boogie was wearing down. Boogie was playing so many minutes and logging so many minutes to try to build and carry that Pelican team to a playoff berth, because this has been a couple years since they've made the playoffs. I don't think so, man. I don't believe in that. He was only playing two and a half more minutes a game. Now, again, he is a big man. You know, he is entering, his ninth year? Let me see. He came in at 20. He's about to be 28. Yeah, he's playing his eighth year. I mean, I just don't see it. I don't see it. I mean, he is a big man. There could be wear and tear in regards to knees. Biggie's never been the lightest player in the world. He has some weight issues early in his career. But I don't buy the notion of the wear and tear is what caused his Achilles to tear. I just don't, you know, his Achilles to rupture or whatever. I don't buy into that. I think it's a travesty. Him and Boogie were, him and AD, the Unibrow, were playing so well that it's real. Like, look, they weren't going to make any noise in the playoffs. Maybe they, I mean, where were they? Were what, sixth in the West? What would that have gotten them? A date with who? The Spurs? Let's see. Yeah, I would have gotten them a date with the Spurs. Maybe they get a game or two. Maybe. Would have been nice to see. But, you know, now it's a wrap, and now you don't know when Boogie comes back and what kind of player Boogie's going to be, you would hope. I mean, the vertical wasn't that important to Boogie's game anyway, but you don't want him to be Z-Bo out here. You don't want him to be vertically challenged like Z-Bo. So, you know, I hope Boogie comes back, man. Like I said, he's one of my favorite plays in the game to watch. I still think that Boogie Unibrow thing could be great. And shout out to Slam. Slam Magazine had that No Limit style cover of Brown Boogie. That was really dope. If you ain't checked that out, Joe, check out Slam Magazine. That shit was popping. But yeah, that was really bad, man. I think that's bad for the game. That's bad for the league in general. That's bad for fans, because you can't be a hooper and you can't be a fan of ball and not appreciate what Boogie was doing this year. I mean, the 40 and 20 the other night against the Bulls was ridiculous. And speaking of Bulls, and I'll get into this and then wrap it up. You know, when I said be trash and be great, I didn't know if people really understand what I was saying. I had a few people hit me up saying that they did not cosign be trash and be great, and that's fine, that's fair. You guys can always hit me up. I'm always available for stuff like that. You can always hit me. But be trash and be great is something I really take serious. There's no reason to be mediocre. It doesn't pay to be mediocre. And since I made that proclamation to the Bulls to be trash and be great, you know what they've done? Lost every single game. Every single game. They have lost 4 in a row. No, actually, scratch that. They've lost 5 out of 6. 5 out of 6. And they really should have lost to the Hawks. They should have lost to the Hawks. They played over their heads because they hung tough with the Warriors, and they carried that alleged momentum into Atlanta. And normally when road teams go into the A, they normally hit Magic City, hit any of those spots, and then be a little bit tired by game time. I guess these either Magic City ain't popping like it used to be, or these young Bulls are on the straight and narrow because they went in there and put the hammer down on the Hawks. But outside of that, they've lost 5 out of 6. And I couldn't be happier. Took an L to the Warriors. Took an L to the double OT game with Boogie going off crazy. Took an L to Embiid and them boys. Took an L to Kuzma and them boys. And took an L to Giannis. Took an L to Giannis. And now they're about to go on the West Coast trip. And if you know anything about the Bulls don't do well on the West Coast. They got 3 straight against Portland. The Clippers with no Blake. That could be a W. I don't like that. And then Sacramento, where they're probably, damn, the Bulls have a 2-1 road trip. That's not good for the cause. For the B-trash or B-great movement, the B-trash movement, I need at least a 1-2 road trip. No 2-1. Don't come back to Chicago with that 2-1. Don't want to see it. Don't want to see it. But thank you. Thank you to the Bulls. This is my process. This is the process I want them to trust. The B-trash or B-great movement, it's all about being trash. Be trash so you can be great later. Be trash now so you can be great later. Bulls have lost 5 out of 6. Holla at your boy. And that will do it for the Pick and Pop Podcast. I am your host, Sam Dusenberry Jr. Follow me on Twitter at TheSandy. That's TheSamd. Subscribe and rate on iTunes. Search Pick and Pop Podcast. That's Pick and Pop Podcast. Pick the letter N, Pop Podcast. SoundCloud.com/SureFreeSports is where you can find the show posted up on SoundCloud, Stitcher Radio, Google Play, all the good stuff where you can find podcasts. Search Pick and Pop Podcast. So you know what it is. I'm glad I was able to come back. We'll definitely hit on some things later in the week. I'm going to try to keep up with it, but I got y'all. All right, y'all. Later.